I'd like to start this week with an email.
An email? Are you copying Corey?
Am I allowed to do that, Corey?
You can do it. Can go ahead.
Terrible Scottish accent.
I'm just going to look into this camera and just look angrily.
This is from Jennifer, and it says, "Hi, I've been watching the three of you for a while now and have absolutely been loving the podcast. I'm really excited for the premiere on YouTube tonight as it starts as soon as I leave work, meaning I can watch it on the train home. I learn something new every episode, and although I usually feel a bit like Jamp, not knowing what's going on." James, how do you feel about that?
Thoroughly represented.
"It's always really interesting and funny. I look forward to tonight, all your future episodes. Keep up the good work, guys." Jennifer.
Yeah.
Oh.
If it wasn't clear from that email, we started doing...
We're on YouTube.
We're on YouTube.
So if you want to watch us, do it. It's on YouTube.
Please do.
Every Sunday night, which means you can watch it a whole day early.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
Well, more like half a day, because it goes up on the Monday morning and it's Sunday night.
Well, I mean, whatever. Who's up at 6 a.m., really?
It's actually less than 12 hours, so.
Quite a lot of people, actually, Corey. Probably you as well.
No, I wake up at 8, I roll out of bed, then I go to work.
What's that like?
It's awful.
I bet it is.
Shall we start the episode?
Start the show. Yeah.
Welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jamp and Luke Kupfer.
Hello.
Howdy.
I almost ran out of breath.
Yeah, you did.
This week, we'll be talking about pretty milkmaids and snorting sores.
This sounds...
Snorting what?
Sores.
Sores. Right.
You know, like like an ulcer.
Oh, a sore. Okay.
Sores. Like an ulcer.
A sore.
Hang on. So snorting.
Not a sore.
Snorting.
Sores. As in, like, you've got a sore in your nose and you accidentally snort the sore up your nose.
Yes.
Is that actually what we're talking about?
But not accidentally.
Deliberately,
snorting. Not your own sores. I'll get into it.
Oh, God.
Smallpox is a disease.
Yes, it is.
Which most people today will have not had to deal with. Thanks to the widespread use of vaccines, we've now essentially eradicated the disease from humans.
That's exciting.
Yeah, but
congratulations.
Yeah. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
2016. So what is smallpox?
Pox, but small.
You're damn right.
Is that actually correct?
No, it's not.
Is it worse than chicken pox?
Excuse me. It's much worse than chicken pox.
I thought so.
I mean, we've all had chicken pox here, and we're all alive.
My calculations are correct.
The thing is, look, we've all had chicken pox here, and we're all alive. If we'd all had smallpox, one of us wouldn't be here.
Has it got a 1/3 death rate? Is that why, Corey?
30% death rate, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's good, wasn't it?
So how does it differ from chicken pox?
It's not even the same virus at all. Okay. It's totally different.
It just shares pox.
It just gives you pox, which are like little sores.
I see. Mm-hmm.
So it's been around for a long time, at least 1,500 years. There's no mention of it in ancient Greek texts.
That's a while.
It's a long time, isn't it? But they did have it in Rome, supposedly. It was one of the deadliest diseases known to man, and it kind of showed up around about the 3rd century in the Mediterranean and China. And like I said, it's caused by a virus, and it's an orthopoxovirus, which is really good. It's easy to remember. Orthopox.
Does that mean that it's got pox?
It makes pox, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
pox good. Being little spots on your skin.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It all adds up, isn't it? And humans are the only known reservoir for the virus, which basically means we don't know any other animal that gets smallpox.
Well, that's good. At least we can't spread it to...
That's super interesting.
Other places.
That's really interesting.
I thought you were about to say something more.
I don't know.
You just fizzled out.
I thought I was going to say something more.
Yeah. It's transmitted from person to person, and an infection usually happens by inhaling stuff.
The person?
Well, not an entire person, just like spit, respiratory droplets. So essentially spit.
And doing a big fat line of someone else's spit.
No, no, like breathing in someone else's like breath, essentially, gets like little bits of the virus stuck inside of you. Yeah, which isn't good. It mostly just infects your mucosal membranes, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's bits of you that have mucus on.
I think I have currently a mucosal membrane infection, just in case you wanted to know that.
What makes you think
keep
that?
On that side
I've
of the
had,
desk.
I've had like a, well, it doesn't matter actually. I don't need to share this. Carry on.
Hold on. What the hell is going on?
Do we need to know?
No.
Why would you mention it?
Well, I don't know. I can...
Do you have smallpox?
I might have smallpox, yeah. I'm the first known case.
Next week, Luke will not be around, for he will be dead.
We're going to have to look for a replacement.
Historical data suggests that it's smallpox is not very transmissible. It's just in high populations that it...
We do live all squished together, so...
Yeah, we really do, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
who discovered smallpox? Do you know?
I don't know.
It's
kind of
a shame.
I'm sorry. It's been around for a long time. That's the thing. So it's not not something that someone needs to discover. It's not like the common cold.
Right.
Yeah.
Where, you know. Oh, it is like the common
it
cold.
It is like the common cold.
What?
No, it is like the common cold because it's just kind of always around. Generally, the people that have got close contact for a long time with the infected people are the most at risk. And generally how it happens is there's a 10 to 14 day incubation period. In that time, the infected person then develops severe symptoms with fever and headaches and other awful things.
Ooh, not fun.
Not fun, no.
No.
So they get a rash on their face, mucous membranes, and other extremities.
Mucous like membranes is like my favorite disgusting term for body parts.
Should we talk about mucous membranes?
Oh, yeah.
So mucous membrane is like a part of your body that exudes mucus. That would be your nose. Is your throat a mucous membrane? Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your nostrils, your vagina, that's a mucous membrane.
My vagina is a mucous membrane.
Yeah, I think that's most of the mucous membranes. I wonder if the eyes are mucous membranes.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably.
Let's move on again. I keep on doing these asides that don't need to be in there.
Eyes are a bit gross, aren't they?
Hi guys, I'm ill, and also your vagina is a mucous membrane. Continue.
Carry on.
Smallpox has been around for a long time, and the longest prevention efforts that we know about go back a long time as well. Back to the 10th century, at least, in China, in fact. And what people would do is inoculate people nasally with material from smallpox lesions.
By snorting sores.
Yeah, so essentially how they did that was powder up some sores and make people snort them.
Powder them up.
How do you powder them up?
Oh, like doing a line of something.
Essentially, yeah, like getting scabs.
Like they get...
Wait, you just get a scab and make...
And then you
grind
like,
them up.
Oh,
cut it
okay.
up.
Okay, I was confused, but that makes
sense. Probably grind it up. Okay. Like, you know.
Roll up a banknote.
I was like, how do you just get a sore off
someone? Yeah, ancient China, that's what they were doing. They were rolling up their little Chinese banknotes. And they were like...
They've probably been like bamboo
well,
or something.
Well, first they got
their
bank cards and then cut
they
a line.
They cut their bank cards.
Just leaves.
People would then get a mild case of the disease.
So that's essentially like a vaccine.
Yeah, it is.
It's like a vaccine except with the actual thing.
Well, it's like a live rather than a deactivated version of the illness.
Mm-hmm. See, the thing is with most vaccines, even if they are the actual thing, they weaken it.
Yes.
So in this case, it's called variolation.
Right.
Which is using the same virus with no real change to it, just in a little bit. It's like a controlled infection.
Right. Mm. More dangerous, I assume.
More dangerous. Yeah. More.
Wait, so that means that the person who we credit with inventing vaccines didn't invent vaccines.
No, he didn't. Of course he didn't.
Wow.
Stole someone else's idea.
If you think a white man invented...
It's like the whole of science.
If you think a white man invented something, he didn't.
My favorite white man inventing something or discovering something story is that at some point, I can't remember what it was, but at some point a scientist declared that he had found... Sorry, this is going to be a very vaginary episode for some reason. at some point, this man scientist declared that he had discovered and confirmed the existence of the clitoris. And then all the women were like, all the females were like, yeah, we've been new, sir. We're good.
We're aware.
I would much rather if women just suddenly found it themselves and were shocked and pleased to find out.
Thanks, white man.
I didn't know
when
I had
did
this.
That get there?
This magic pleasure button. Thank you, science. Yeah.
So if you're ever wondering what you can thank the white men for, it's
your
the clitoris.
It's amazing that one man managed to find the clitoris, yet every man after that
has failed.
Totally failed.
Spectacularly.
Oh, awful. Let's carry on again. Keep on having these asides. This is the theme of the episode is my asides are going to be disgusting. I apologize in advance.
I have an aside. My favorite person discovering something that they didn't discover is the discovery of penicillin. Because penicillin was being used for a long time. It made my mold, and people would just rub it on themselves to fix themselves.
Mm.
And a scientist saw that and was like, I'm going to take credit
for
that.
You know what? I'm going to invent that.
So he isolated it, I guess.
Yeah, but if it's already...
Well, he invented penicillin, the medicine. He didn't invent mushrooms. But he invented penicillin.
He isolated it.
Yes.
But
he invented penicillin.
In the same way that this guy invented vaccines just by doing what other people have been doing.
Sure.
Just in a slightly more refined way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The difference is that when you do penicillin in the way that Alexander Graham Bell? Who's penicillin?
the guy
invented the telephone and vaccines separately. But the difference is that when they did penicillin and when they, I assume, did vaccines, it's patentable because there's a method rather than just picking up some fungus. So that's why they're credited with it, is because they allow Big Pharma to pay loads of money.
I'll join in.
I assume. I don't know that's necessarily true, but I assume.
I don't think Big Pharma was quite as big in the 1700s and 1800s, but...
Little Pharma.
Wait, does that mean that Big Pox is coming? If Little Pharma became Big Pharma, Little Pox will become Big Pox.
We squashed smallpox.
I'm going to move on to
get big.
Around about the 17th... No, not the 17th century, the 18th century in Europe and wherever Turkey is. I don't know where it is.
It's like near...
This is joining the European Union. This is not a geography podcast.
This is political, Curry.
This is not geography.
They're in the process of either joining the European Union or they have joined the European Union. I'm not sure. It's next to Syria anyway.
I mean geographically. I don't care. I don't know.
It's next to Syria.
Nope. Don't know. Don't even know where Syria is. So don't even try.
Actually, I don't know where Syria is.
I'm going to have to start a podcast called Jog Guys.
Is it a running podcast?
Geo Guys?
No, it's not a running podcast. It's a geography podcast. Shut up.
So Lady Montague, who is the wife of an English ambassador,
what else does she achieve? You can't introduce her as being someone's wife, Corey.
It was the 1700s, honestly.
Did she achieve anything?
By being the wife of a guy, that's basically all she's going to be.
Oh, I tried. I'm sorry, I tried.
It's not...
Feminism.
It's not me.
Fantastic, then.
It's the 1700s. So
you can't blame a time, Corey.
For sexism? Yes, I can.
Well, you can blame the people.
Of the time.
Of the time. In that time period.
Shut up.
So, Lady Mary Wortley Montague was the wife of...
Very attractive name, by the way. Wortley?
You're going to really love what she did. She was the wife of...
Did she invent warts?
No, she didn't. She was the wife of an English ambassador.
People had been using warts for centuries.
The Ottoman Empire.
She just loves skin protrusions.
She was the wife of an English ambassador in the Ottoman Empire, which then became Turkey. I do know some geography. She observed inoculation.
Well, I know.
That wasn't geography.
It's history then, whatever.
See, I couldn't even tell you.
Crossover.
She was in Turkey. I know of the existence of Turkey, therefore I know geography.
The Ottoman Empire became Turkey.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Well done. You can be the guest on my first episode of Jog Guys.
Hold on, Jog Guys does not include... You're making your own podcast.
Yeah,
with
yeah. Well... I'm making it with people who prove themselves to be good at geography.
Luke, the entire point of this podcast is that you guys are not good at science.
Okay. Well, you've just proven yourself to be vaguely good at geography. Therefore, you're not in my podcast anymore. Talking yourself out of a job, Corey. Good God.
Do you want to know what Lady Mary Wortley Montague did?
More than anything, other than her husband.
Yeah, right. Go on. What did she do?
So she saw inoculation in Turkey and... Her son was maybe at the risk of getting some smallpox. So she decided to test it on him as well.
Ah, very clever.
Yeah, so basically what they did was they just scratched people up and shoved some smallpox in there.
Scratched people up.
Yeah.
I think Corey means scratch bits off people who were already infected.
No, I mean uninfected people. They scratched them up and shoved smallpox in there.
That's exactly what I imagined.
Yep. And just waited for them to... So basically, she described it in a letter.
I've got a petri dish of smallpox and I'm going to scratch
here for
you
guys to try. They used like nuts,
rub it in, like,
nutshells.
Scrub.
To do all the scratching.
Scratching, because they didn't have knives yet.
I mean, they did have knives. It was the
1700s. Why did they use nuts then?
I don't know. It was Turkey. I don't know what they do over there.
Weird.
Yeah. But they held like the smallpox sores in like the pus and stuff in little nutshells. Apparently.
Yum.
This is what she wrote. She wrote a really nice letter.
Time for a salad.
But it's very long, so I'll give you a little excerpt of her letter. So she was basically writing a letter to her friend to tell her friend what happened with her son. The old woman comes with a nutshell full of the matter of the best sort of smallpox and asks what veins you please to have opened. She immediately rips open that you offered her with a large needle, which gives you no more pain than a common scratch, and puts into the vein as much venom as can lie upon the head of her needle, and after, binds up the little wound with a hollow bit of shell, and in this manner opens four or five veins. Effectively, they had smallpox parties.
That's really cool.
Effectively, like translating from like, you know, an upper class English woman.
Yeah.
You would have a chickenpox party, but for smallpox.
We actually did used to have chickenpox parties at school when one person would get chickenpox and they would all catch it off each other.
Yeah.
Chickenpox party.
Yeah.
Can you catch, I think you can catch chickenpox, can't you? That's why you stay off school.
I've heard that some parents do that. And then they like, when one kid gets chickenpox,
smush them all together.
All the parents in the neighborhood like sleepover time.
Yeah, you want to do it when they're
get out the way.
Otherwise they get shingles. And
it gets more dangerous as you grow up, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the same like, you know, class of virus that causes chickenpox, herpes.
Because mouth ulcers are also herpes.
Yeah, so there's
glandular fever.
Glandular fever, so that's Epstein-Barr virus, kissing disease.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when we were like 4 years old, 5 years old, all the kids were giving each other herpes.
Yeah.
And that was just fine.
That's brilliant. I
mean, your parents wanted
it. It's a herpes party. They're like, get out of the way.
I suppose that's just an orgy.
No, Corey, it's not an orgy.
A herpes party is an orgy. Or an orgy is a herpes party.
Stop talking.
I'm okay. All right. Fine. I'll continue.
Let's move on.
She then goes on to say that essentially the kids are fine. 8 days, they're playing, and then they're in bed for 2 or 3 days. And then they're, you know, after 8 days after that, they're good.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. They get over the smallpox.
Good as gold.
Which is really good.
It's a pretty weird thing
they get over it.
It's a pretty weird thing to like have discovered because it's not it doesn't exactly follow logic when you don't understand how the immune system works.
Yeah.
So like how did they work that out? That's weird. It's a weird one.
Probably the people that survived smallpox didn't get it again.
Yes.
So
you kind of just learn it over generations, like something, I guess.
Right. Okay. Like
if there's a pattern of getting it when you're young and then never having it again.
Right. They're just like, right, give it to people as early as possible.
Not necessarily as early. You want to be old enough to be able to...
Out the womb and into the smallpox.
Yeah, you want to be old enough to... Like, the smallpox vaccine still isn't given to pregnant women.
Yeah.
Or people that are vulnerable. It
might have been spread like an old wives' tale that actually turned out to be true.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
And the old wives were the ones that were doing it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, so it had a 0.5 to 2% death rate. This, which is bad, but it's much better than the 30% death rate of smallpox.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, like, that... death rate, that's for everyone that you give the like the vaccine, the inoculation to. But how many people are actually infected with smallpox? Because if you're vaccinating more people than people are getting smallpox,
your 2% death rate might still be more people than would normally die of smallpox.
Exactly.
That's let's just hope that that's not the case and carry on the story.
Nowhere says that. I was curious about this.
Yeah, that's like I've been researching a lot today about because of Greta Thunberg. This is very off topic, but because of Greta Thunberg talking about how the United States needs to stop polluting and the United States senators are going, what about China? Like, because they don't want to do anything. And so I was researching about per capita pollution in different countries. And the United States is pretty high up the list. The UK is really quite low.
Is it?
Yeah, we have like nearly six times less than the worst polluting country. And we have about almost three times less than the US per capita. So well done, UK. Ooh. Good job.
And where's China on that list?
China's higher than us, but lower than the United States.
Yeah, because China's better than the United States in most things.
More efficient.
No, I just mean when it comes to climate, China's making actual action to stop it.
Yeah.
Not to stop the climate, to stop climate change, whereas the US is still stuck.
Yeah, so the worst is Qatar. And then the United States has 16.5, I think it's tons per capita. And then you have the UK right down at, I have to keep scrolling. Very exciting.
That's a good sign.
6.5. But China is 7.5. So they're a little bit worse than the UK, but they're also an economically developing country. We're more economically developed than China. So we should be doing more. And the United States is more than double as bad as China per capita.
Really?
So well done, Greta. You're on the right track.
Great.
Keep doing the thing you're doing, please.
So the lady goes on to say, there's no example of anyone that's died in it. And you may believe I'm very well satisfied of the safety of the experiment since I intend to try it on my dear little son.
Lovely.
He was like 5 years old and she just tested this on him.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, that is the ultimate like proof of your conviction of your belief. It's like the scientists we talked about early on in the series about people who experimented on themselves to prove things that they couldn't get sign off to actually do some studies
on. Some actual studies on,
And then they turned out to be correct and some of them did.
And we now have amazing things that we wouldn't have otherwise had they not done that, or we would have had them a lot later.
It is fantastic. However, I don't really know if I enjoy the treatment of children in this entire process, because people would just test things on kids. Like, okay, in this case, it's her kid, you know, rich kid, that's fine. That's effectively
it's
now.
Not fine, Corey.
Well, I mean, look, it's the equivalent of today's parents, you know, deciding kid. To use homeopathic remedies on their kids that have got terminal cancer rather than, you know, chemotherapy. But it's the same thing.
I guess.
But you'll find later on the actual development of vaccines was not necessarily very good.
I mean, what other option did they have back then?
Try it on yourself, man. Don't try it on a kid. Like,
I've got all these tests.
Take a Barry Marshall route and try it on yourself.
These trial runs.
So in this procedure, a lancet or a needle was used to deliver a subcutaneous dose of smallpox to a susceptible person.
What is subcutaneous
below your skin?
Ah, okay, thanks. I knew that.
So essentially what happened is this lady brought it back to England and they started doing it. This doctor from the 18th century, Peter Kennedy, described it as such. They scarred the wrists, legs, and forehead of the patient, placed a fresh and kindly pock in each incision, and bound it there for 8 or 10 days. After this time, the patient was credibly informed. The patient would then develop a mild case of smallpox, recover, and thereafter be immune. Now, I don't know what credibly informed means, but I really hope
afterwards?
They told them... Yeah, I don't know. They talk.
I hope they're aware going into it.
Yeah, they talk weird in the 1700s, so yeah. I'm just going to hope that means
Let's
something
give them
completely
the benefit
different.
Of the doubt.
Yeah. So that's called variolation, and it was controversial at the time, but obviously it kind of worked. As I said, 0.5 to 2% mortality rate, which is... that could be worse.
I'm quite disappointed that the people in Turkey and the people in the United Kingdom stopped doing the version where you like scrape up a bit of someone's scab and snort it up your nose. I think that's much more interesting.
I mean, that was China that was doing that. Like, they could still be doing it today. We don't know. Have you guys heard of Edward Jenner?
No.
Wait, Kylie Jenner or what?
Which one of the Kardashians is this?
He's a better Jenner than any of the other Jenners. You guys know what vaccines are, right?
Yes.
Yes.
This man basically invented them.
You mean patented them?
No, he invented vaccines.
Oh, packaging it into an actual thing you could take and inject.
Yeah, so before it was variolation, it was using a live, completely live, normal virus.
Yes.
Okay.
And Edward Jenner did something a little bit different.
Just like me, every YouTube video.
I think Edward Jenner was slightly more influential than you'll ever be, Luke.
Oh, that meme. Cultural impact, Edward Jenner. I'm going to do one of those tweets that says,
cultural impact, Luke Cupford, and then Edward Jenner, inventor of the vaccination. And I'm much higher than he was.
Just save it for the Sci Guys Twitter.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good one. So Edward Jenner was born in Berkeley, England, in 1749. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah, wasn't it? When he was 13, he was apprenticed to an apothecary, Daniel Ludlow, and later a surgeon, George Hardwick, in Sodbury, which is nearby. Why does England have such
Sodbury.
Weird place names? Yeah,
sod
Sodbury.
Ah, I'll just sod it. Call it Sodbury.
So he observed that people who caught cowpox while working with cattle were known to not catch smallpox.
Cowpox.
We'll come to that later.
Cowpox.
And it's later right now. So cowpox is a virus caused by...
Cows?
Yeah, well, no. Okay, so cowpox is a disease caused by a virus similar to smallpox, but it affects cows, as you'd expect from the name. So it causes sores on their ulcers. Ulcers? On their udders.
Makes their ulcers
That's
sore.
Like, I can't imagine a worse place on any physical body to get a sore than on an udder.
Yeah, it's essentially a nipple.
It's like a droopy nipple that's now got like warts all over it.
Elongated nipple.
That's just the worst. What if your baby needs a drink?
Well,
and you've got warty udders.
Ow. Oh, you're fed. Okay,
so
good.
It's actually more common in rodents, apparently.
What, warty udders?
But no. Cowpox.
Why are they called it cowpox?
Because we only saw it in cows, didn't we?
Very silly.
Because we domesticated them. So we're not really looking at the rats to see if, do their tits have sores on them?
People were generally quite scared of rats, weren't they?
I suppose they were. And they should have been. They carried the plague.
They carried the plague. That's it.
Yeah. And their little backpacks.
But even worse, they carried warts.
So cowpox can be transferred to humans. And all it does is cause a localized sore, which is just a little ulcer on your hand or wherever you touch.
Oh, on your actual skin.
Yeah. Where else is it going to be?
I don't know. Usually it's like on your lips or something. That's like a normal.
That's worse.
Newsflash, James, your lips are skin.
Why are you kissing cow udders?
Different. I've never had cowpox.
He's so
practicing. To make this clear, shut up.
So yeah, if you got like an abrasion or a broken skin, the virus gets in, and that's where it'll have a sore just there.
But it doesn't transport around the body.
No, it doesn't, and it doesn't really transfer.
That's nice of it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't transfer
to other people.
No, very easily to other. Yeah.
What if you like high five, but you've both got cut hands?
You've got to have broken skin,
and you've got a big wart on your hand.
Well, then
playing the ultimate
in that obviously situation, then,
you're going to get cowpox.
Ultimate
cow
prank on your friend, just like slightly cut their hand. And
hey man, high five! Ha ha! Now you've got cowpox.
Hey man, cut your hand real quick. Yeah, cut your hand real quick. High five!
No,
yeah.
It's when you're going in for the high five, you quickly get your other hand and slash him with a knife, and then finish the high five.
I think if you slash your friend's hand with a knife, they would not continue the high five.
No, I think that if they're that a good, if they're a good friend, they'd carry it out.
So the disease clears up and potentially leaves a scar, but it's basically harmless, which is nice.
That is nice.
Hmm. Yeah. So Jenner noticed that people that, you know, had cowpox didn't get smallpox. And he thought there was a connection back when he was 13, but no one really listened to him because he was a 13-year-old.
Wow. Mm. It's exactly like Greta Thunberg.
Well, I don't think he was quite telling everyone. He was probably just like,
he was
hey,
in,
do you think it's a thing
in Congress? And they were making fun of him. And he was holding up his little warty hand and trying to offer all the congressmen high fives.
He didn't have
cowpox. Slashing them open on the way. Like, and that's why they didn't listen to him.
He didn't have cowpox at the time, I should point out.
He didn't have cowpox.
Oh, no, it's not on record, no.
Yeah.
So of him having cowpox when he was 13. A smallpox epidemic occurred and he advised the local cattle workers. This is when he was an actual doctor, you know, when he was an adult. He advised the cattle workers to be inoculated. But they told him that they had cowpox before, so they're fine. They don't need to have it.
And they were right.
And they were right. And that confirmed his childhood suspicion. And he then went in to study cowpox a little bit more.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and he presented a paper on it to the local medical society.
That's really interesting because it's like, with smallpox being such a horribly deadly thing,
yeah,
you can just inoculate yourself with something really benign.
Like a cow.
Yes, like a cow.
Like a cow.
You can cut open your hand and go and touch a cow udder. And then you don't get the deadly thing. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It must really be bad for people that have got like a really bad phobia of cows. It's like a life and death situation.
That's a very specific phobia.
Yeah.
I mean, most phobias are incredibly specific. That's kind of the point.
I guess.
So does that mean that the smallpox and the cowpox virus are like, the smallpox is only very marginally different, meaning that the same antibodies can break it down?
Yeah.
And so there's like, cowpox is just, or whatever smallpox and cowpox's recent ancestor is, there's very little difference between them, but one's horrifically deadly to humans and one is very not deadly.
Yes. And that, wow. You find that a lot with viruses, bacteria.
Mm. Mm.
There are, so you've got E. coli in you right now. Like, I'm sure I've said this before. You've got E. coli in you right now that are fine.
Yeah.
They're just chilling. They're not doing anything bad. But then there's also pathogenic E. coli.
Right.
Which will kill you. The difference between being deadly and not deadly is very, very fine. So there was already a kind of public understanding, clearly, that cowpox caused a resistance to smallpox in some way. So
among cow workers.
Just about around anyone that had cowpox.
Yes.
Oh, you mean
the cow workers understood it. I mean, if you had cowpox as well.
Yeah, so that kind of comes up in the idea of the beautiful milkmaid, which was apparently an image that was just frequently used in art and literature at the time. So people generally knew, not just cow workers, I don't know what they're called.
Cowhands?
Farmers, maybe?
Cow people.
cow shepherds.
Cows and their cow workers. So the beautiful milkmaid was, an image that was around a lot. So clearly everyone knew about cow workers not getting smallpox.
Wait, and that's a leap.
It's not, because they were pretty, because they didn't have pock marks.
Hang on.
Everyone else was
people
was ugly.
People who are pretty and people who have cowpox are not mutually exclusive groups.
No, people who are pretty and people who don't have smallpox are mutually exclusive.
So the message you're trying to say is, you're beautiful if you don't have smallpox.
Have you seen? They get pock marks. Ooh.
So you're saying everyone's beautiful until they get smallpox. But that's a very small amount of people. So everyone's beautiful. That's a nice message.
Chance
of
being
well
beautiful.
Well done.
Yeah.
Unless you've got smallpox, in which case...
Unless you've got smallpox, which no one has.
In which case, you are the absolute opposite of beautiful.
Ugly, disgusting.
Two separate groups. And
beauty card revoked.
So in 1796, Sarah Nelms? Sarah. In 1776, Sarah, who was a local milkmaid, she got cowpox and she went to Jenner for treatment. And Jenner did what any man would do and scratched some of the cowpox stuff off of the girl. And
what anyone would
my
do.
Idea of a lovely date.
and then took the 8-year-old son of his gardener, who just clearly happened to be around, and just infected him with cowpox.
Right, this is the story I know of a person infecting like someone they knew's son with smallpox.
Like his gardener as well. So that the issue for me is that it's not someone of equal social standing. He takes any poor kid, the closest poor kid that he finds, and he's taking Tiny Tim and he's like, all right, kid, let's see what happens.
Let's go.
Do you think that's how it happened, or do you think the gardener was just like, yeah, all right?
Even if the gardener was like, yeah, all right, the kid's 8. Maybe do it on yourself if you're so sure of it, Jenner.
Okay.
When was this?
This was 1796.
I think they would have been like, kid.
Hey. I mean, 8 years old in 1796 was probably like working age. So
it certainly was.
That's sad. So, he might have been a cowhand himself, to be fair.
The kid that he inoculated was called James Phipps.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor James.
So he had a mild fever and a local lesion, as you'd expect. But he was fine after a few days. So
fine.
Yeah. 2 months later, Jenner got some smallpox and scratched open the kid again.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, on both arms. And he found that he was fine. Nothing happened.
Great.
So he'd found...
Apart from all the scratching and the...
You know, yeah.
Apart from that stuff.
An adult man taking him and infecting him with diseases. He was generally fine.
Generally fine.
I hate you.
Right, so... speaking of hate, James Phipps, the kid that Jenner inoculated, didn't actually hate him. Which is nice, isn't it?
Yes,
He gave him a house in his later life, as in Jenner gave James.
Wow. Ah. All right. Okay. I'm on the side of Jenner now. I think. He's made James Phipps famous.
He compensated.
Not famous.
We're still talking about him like 200 years ago.
James Phipps' Wikipedia article consists of when he was 8, he was the first receiver of this vaccine. Later life, lived in a house given to him by Edward Jenner. Went to Edward Jenner's funeral. That's it.
That's
he did nothing of note in his life.
His whole life is defined by
that
this.
That was a very Edward Jenner centric life he led there, according to Wikipedia.
I think Edward Jenner probably wrote that Wikipedia article.
Imagine if he was allowed to read his Wikipedia article.
Imagine if Edward Jenner wrote every Wikipedia article in terms of things that are how they're related to Edward Jenner. Donald J. Trump is the son of 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 the cousin of the son of the son of the son of Edward Jenner, and also President of the United States.
So how it actually works is exposure to the cowpox virus builds immunity to the smallpox virus. We know that. The first step is you inject the cowpox virus into the bloodstream, and the virus then enters the cells, and you get a mild fever. And then T cells, which are types of...
The little keys that do the fighting.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They're the cells, the white blood cells that... form like they understand how to make a shape in order to attach to or in some way destroy invading cells.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, we spoke about these once before. I'll explain it all again. T cells effectively are antibody producing cells.
Yeah.
So what they do is they'll recognize an antigen and they'll make lots of antibodies for that, but they'll also make daughter cells, which are memory T cells.
Yes.
And they remember that antigen. Which is why your immune system works. So you remember effectively every disease you've ever come into contact with.
Yeah.
You do lose them over time though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm guessing that cowpox and smallpox either have the same key, the same shape, or like so similar that it doesn't matter.
Mm. Yeah, basically. That's how that works. And it's on that mechanism that a lot of vaccines are based. Mm. Just by remembering a really similar disease or a weakened version of the disease.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't vaccinate against the common cold, because the common cold constantly evolves into new shapes.
It's changing all the time.
Is that why?
So annoying.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
That's why you need to get a flu jab every year.
Oh, they're changing the locks on.
Yeah.
The common cold all the time.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It doesn't fit.
As Luke said, you can lose them over time, the antibody producing cells, which is why back when smallpox was, you know, major, you'd have to get one every 3 to 5 years. So that's about how long
it
lasts.
Wow, that's a lot. That's, yeah, that's like tetanus level of frequency.
Yeah, so
it's, tetanus is 10 years, I think.
So you lose the cells, but it's more because the virus also changes.
Right, okay, yeah. Right.
It's okay. Those two factors.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, viruses and bacteria and other small things like that, they have really quick generations.
So they're going to mutate faster than we will. Yeah,
so they've got evolution, but on a really jumped up scale. As in, you can make bacteria evolve within a week.
And that, I believe, is why we invented sexual reproduction. Well, we didn't invent it, but why sexual reproduction?
The white man invented sexual reproduction.
Who discovered sexual reproduction?
So, I think that's
Alexander
why
Graham Bell invented sexual reproduction along with the telephone.
If you'll shut up. I think that's why sexual reproduction evolved, is because every generation it just completely scrambles up so much stuff that then we can fight bacteria's ability to rapidly evolve because we change up the game so drastically by switching everything when we make a new baby. Is that correct?
I don't have the authority to say that.
Okay. I think that's correct.
It's a nice idea, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Sure. Nobel Prize for you.
Thank you.
That's a nice idea.
Then when you're exposed to the smallpox virus, once you've got the immunity, it comes into your body and your antibody T cells remember the virus and kick its ass.
Fantastic.
Kids. So you're good. You're immune. So they just destroy it and you're good. That's how it works. Shall I tell you guys about the future?
Not Please our tell future. Us about the future.
Not our future.
Our future.
The future.
The future of the
in
past.
Reference to the past. The future. So the past, so but the last recent past. The more recent past.
Our past, but the future of the past from where we were talking. Currently talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
So as I said, we eradicated smallpox.
We well did. Done us.
Yeah, I know. Good on us.
Do we have any of it anywhere?
I mean, probably. Yeah. Oh, we do. I mean, oh, it's in labs.
Yeah, because I think there was fears that they were going that we would be like bombed with bio bombs with smallpox in them.
The U.S. Army has a whole ton of vaccines that they've got.
Great.
So no one. So the U.S. stopped vaccinating its normal population in I think the '70s when the disease was eradicated.
Yeah. Mm.
But they've still got massive stores of it. In fact, they've got a different type of vaccine that isn't available to the public. Just for people in the army.
Wow.
Should,
because they're more likely to be biobombed.
Yeah, they don't give it to them. I don't think they necessarily give it to them, but in the situation that they would need to,
but it's ready for
they
them.
Can do it.
Yeah.
Because actually, if
That's
you
interesting.
Vaccinate or inoculate at the same time as someone has given Got smallpox, it. You can actually stop the infection from really getting
wow.
that bad. Because obviously, you've got the really bad virus to fight.
Yes.
But you've also got the really weak virus to fight at the same time.
Yeah.
So if you fight the really weak virus, Then
Yeah. It's super interesting when you hear about things like that, like the US government has a secret store of two different types of smallpox vaccine. Because it's like, there are, the scale of our countries and their operations and all this kind of stuff is so vastly beyond our understanding. Mm-hmm. And like, it's like when you have like that big vault in, is it like Greenland or Antarctica or something, where it's like stored all the seeds of all the plants. Although it had a problem at some point, and I think a lot of them defrosted. And that's just like a thing that's been paid for that someone's planned.
Yeah.
And that's incredible.
Oh, like, the seed bank. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Mental.
So cool.
So we've got the modern vaccine, which is slightly different. That was made in the 1950s. And it can be freeze dried. It's heat stable. And it's just generally better than the previous one. So you can basically store it for a long time without refrigeration, which is really good
if you're at war or something. Yeah.
Yeah,
or if you're in like a war, like a war-torn country or a disaster zone.
Yeah,
or fantastic
you just wanna news. Keep your vaccine around. Don't want to use the fridge.
Keep it handy.
Keep it in your pocket.
Yeah. So it's made of a virus called Vaccinia, which is similar to cowpox and smallpox,
but lady version.
I was about to say it sounds like the female version of vaccine.
It's a pox virus similar to the both, as I said, but it's not as harmful. They launched the effort to eradicate smallpox in the 1950s. So the U.S. and the Soviet Union. Both gave like millions of vials away to help the effort.
Nice.
Yeah, which was really nice.
Millions of vials that they collected from their citizens or millions of vials that they'd been storing for evil purposes?
No, not of smallpox, of the vaccine.
Oh, the vaccine.
Why would they give it?
I thought you were talking about the development of the vaccine.
We're going to go vaccine bomb this country.
No, they gave over 150 million doses of the vaccine.
Ah, cool.
Out, which was good. Luke, you mentioned a global stockpile of seeds.
I did, yes.
We also have a global stockpile of vaccines. So we've got some held at the World Health Organization headquarters in Switzerland, but also a bunch of other countries have got their own stores. France, Germany, Japan, New Zealand, and the United States. And that's all over 31.01 million doses. For something that we got rid of 43 years ago.
But we can freeze it, so we can keep it forever.
That's fine. Yeah, we can keep it for like cool. You know, for ages, which is nice. So, guys, that is the end of smallpox.
The end of smallpox.
The three of us single-handedly eradicated smallpox.
White man, what can we do?
I don't like cancel culture, but I think smallpox should be cancelled.
Thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave a nice wee review? You can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCutforth everywhere.
Well, thank you guys, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.